Morning. Let's turn again to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20 again. We'll look at verse 20 this morning. The scripture reads, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. Well, let's open in prayer. Father, we give thanks this morning that the Lamb is worthy to receive all praise and honor and glory. And we thank you for calling us from darkness to the marvelous light that we now have found rest in the Lamb of God. Pray this morning that you would open up the scripture to us, that we would see all that you would have us to see, that your Son might be honored in our lives to the praise and glory of your grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to look at another aspect of this verse, but let's kind of review. Yesterday, we talked about Christ. Sinners need a substitute because the wages of sin is death. It's a guaranteed contract. And so we saw yesterday that Paul considered Christ as his substitute. In my place, condemned he stood, the songwriter says. But not only was Christ the substitute, but Christ was a sacrifice. Christ bore our sins in his body, so he died on the cross as a sacrifice. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So Paul looked at Christ as not only the substitute, but the sacrifice. Not the sacrifice that Paul made, but the sacrifice that God made. God so loved the world, he gave his Son. The Christian life does not begin with a sacrifice by us. It began with the sacrifice of God. And then we saw that not only was Jesus the sacrifice, but he was the sin bearer. He bore our sin in his body on the tree. God made him a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hang on the tree. So he was a curse. He died in our place and he bore the penalty of sin. I said yesterday, and it may have confused some of you, but I wanted to be clear. God does not forgive sin. He punishes sin. He forgives sinners who accept Jesus as their punishment. Jesus Christ bore the punishment of sin because God will punish sin. He will punish sin in his Son on our behalf, or if you want your own punishment, he will punish you because sin pays wages. All those who are not Christian will experience a punishment, eternal hell with eternal devil for eternity, a real hell in a real place that real people will spend a real eternity. Why? Because they chose not to accept God's way of redemption. It's an awesome thought to think about. But Jesus Christ bore the punishment of sin. And then also, he's not just a sin bearer. He's a savior. Because Jesus Christ didn't stay dead. If he just died, he's no different from Buddha or Muhammad. Up from the grave he arose. And not only did he die, but he conquered man's greatest enemy, death. He conquered death. He put death to death. And he rose from the grave, and he said, this all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. So Jesus Christ is the God-man, and all power, all authority belongs to Jesus Christ. And so the Christian is a person who have come to realize who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and they've come to identify with Jesus. Well, how does this identification take place? Well, Paul said this, look in verse 20 again. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So we saw yesterday that Christ was Paul's sacrifice and the sin bearer. But Paul didn't just stop right. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. There is a united identification. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Christian life begins with a revelation of faith. Not only that Jesus Christ died for me, but I died with him. Not only was that he was my substitute, but I was there with him. He bore my sin in his body on the tree. So Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. This identity becomes not identity that what he did. I identify with him as doing it for me and my doing it with him. I died with him, Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ. The Christian life begins with an identification, but not so much that Jesus died for me, but I died with him. The Christian life begins when your life ends and my life ends. Paul says, when Christ died, I have accepted my death in his death. I have been crucified with Christ. It's a united, if you will, identification. I have united myself with Christ. Not only did he pay the penalty for me, but I've entered in, if you will, and has said in my heart, I do. I don't know if you've been to marriages, and maybe some of you, I know, hope none of you are getting ready to get married tomorrow. But if you've ever been to a marriage, my wife, Cheryl, she's a Francis. Don't say poor thing. But my wife married me. She's a beautiful girl, in spite of me. But at the altar, we were standing there, and we said, I do. But she came, and she married me. And so she was a Sutton, but now she's a Francis by marriage. She is united with me. And so she's a Francis now. A Christian, the sinner, comes to the Savior, and they become a saint by marriage. You accept the sentence of death on your life at the cross. And now you find your life in another. The Christian have had a marriage with the Savior. Christ becomes their husbandman. The church is the bride of Christ. And so if you're a Christian today, you come to the altar of the cross and you said, I do to Jesus. All that I am belongs to you, Lord. Not my will anymore, but thy will be done. Until you do that, don't think that you're a Christian. Now, your doing it doesn't make a sacrifice for you. You're receiving it. The Bible says, to as many as receive Jesus, to them he give the right to become sons of God. I receive him as my substitute. I receive him as my sacrifice. I receive him as my sin bearer. I receive him as my Savior. I said, I do to Jesus. The Christian have said, I do. There's a new identity. They are saints now. By what? By marriage. They've married the Lord Jesus Christ. Have that happened in your life? When did you say, I don't want my life anymore. I want Christ to be my life. The Christian life begins with a new life. A united identity. At the cross, the old song writer would say, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. All the guilt of sin, all the problem of my life, I come to see that Jesus Christ bore it all. It's a united identity. I have been crucified with Christ. Now notice, he says, I have. It's a personal identification. Your mom could be a Christian. Your dad can be a Christian. You could be born in a Christian family. You can have a Christian car, if there's any such thing. But you're not a Christian until you come to Christ and identify him as your Lord and Savior because he revealed to you what he's done. The cross is a revelation of faith. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. The revelation of faith is that I died with Christ and Christ died for me. And then the second aspect of the Christian life we want to look at this morning is not only identification with Christ, but it's a transformational life. Paul says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The second aspect of the Christian life Paul is saying here is not only do I identify with him at the cross, I die with him at the cross, but Paul said, I live. Paul, what do you mean? You died, now you live. What do you mean? You're confusing me. Paul said, I live, but not I, Christ lives in me. The Christian life is transforming because it's a new life. God's life comes in you. Being born again, regeneration, God changes you from inside. The Christian is not someone who does something outside. Christian is someone who's had something done inside of them. They've been changed from within. They've been born again. They've been taken out of one arena and put in another arena. My oldest child, my daughter, had our first grandchild, and for 9 months she looked like she was overweight. And she was. She had a child inside her. And when Carmen was born, Carmen came from one arena inside her mother, outside to another arena. And she was eating inside of her mother. Now she's outside. She's bottles and things. What had happened? She came from one arena to another. A Christian is taken out of sin and put into Christ, out of Adam into Christ. They are new creatures. They come from another arena. God comes in, and that life comes in you. Christianity begins with a new life, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so it's a new hunger, a new hunger. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. The Christian has a new desire. If I can use, if you would allow me to use my myself as an example again. Before I was a believer, I had a hunger and thirst for a lot of things. Many of them I'm ashamed of now. And then when God changed me from within, I had no desire for those things anymore. Why? I had a new heart, a new nature. I was hungering and thirst for righteousness. You couldn't have gotten me to come. I wouldn't have come to a Bible conference like this and had a Bible, but I wouldn't read it. Having a quiet time? I don't have time for a quiet time. Give me some music. I want noise, noise, noise. But when I was born again, I had a new hunger. I wanted to know the word. I had a desire to obey the word. That was a hunger and thirst for righteousness. That happens to every believer. The Bible doesn't just become another book. It becomes the book of books. You want to know the God of the Bible. Now, let me say this. I don't know if you had that battle, but before I became a Christian, I was questioning the Bible. I was like, you know, I don't know if the Bible is true or not. Man made that. You know, and I had all these, if you will, excuses why I think the Bible has some truth in there, but I'm not going to commit my whole life to the Bible because I'm not sure it's God's word. But you know, when I was born again, the Bible wasn't a problem for me. I went beyond believing the Bible. I believed the God of the Bible. So I didn't just trust what was said in the Bible. I trust the God who said the what. So when you're born again, the question is never the Bible. You've come to realize who God is. And the word of God speaks. Why? Because it's the voice of God speaking to you from his word by the Spirit. The Christian rests in not just what God said, but the God who said the what. They're said like Paul, I know whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What had Paul committed to God? He had trusted his life to Christ. So he said, I know whom I believe. And so the argument about the Bible is not an argument for the Christian. Why? Because they've come to rest, not just the word of God, but the God of the word. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. The Christian life begins with a new birth. To as many as receive him, Jesus, to them he give the power to become children of God, the right. He gives the life to you. In him was life, the Bible says, and this life was the light of men. And so Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when a person receives Christ, it changes the dark heart. The heart become alive unto God. It's a miraculous thing. Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind blow where it listens, and you see the sound. You see the effects of the wind, but you can't see the wind. When a person is born again, you see the effects. But sometimes you can't see what happened. But why? Because it's a regenerative, it's a deep work of the Spirit of God, and you can see the effects. You can see the effects of a changed life. The life is changing. You even see yourself differently. Your desires change, and others see that you've changed. Why? It's a miraculous thing that God does in the heart. Through the foolishness of preaching, the word of God is preached. The word of God penetrates the heart, and the heart is changed. Why? Because the Spirit of God takes the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and pricks the heart, and the heart is changed. And you're alive unto God. Nicodemus, born again. It's like Lazarus, dead, and then you're alive again. You're alive. You become alive. The Christian life begins not only with an identity with Christ at the cross, but it becomes an indwelling of Christ. Paul says, Christ lives in me. He says it like this in Colossians, Christ in you is the hope of glory. The Christian is not someone striving to get to heaven. Heaven came down and glory has filled their soul. Christ lives in you. Why? Because Christ has become your life. He is a person who now lives in us by the Holy Spirit. Miraculous thing. It's a glorious thing to be a Christian. A Christian. And Paul says it like this. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Created anew. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God does a great thing in the heart of a believer. Every other religion is people trying to please their God. They're doing things. They're trying to get right with God. Well, the Christian is not trying to get right. The Christian is made right. God makes us right. He gives us a righteousness, not our own. Jesus Christ becomes your wisdom. Jesus Christ becomes your righteousness. Jesus Christ becomes your glory. Jesus Christ becomes your very life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Young people, Christianity is a glorious life in a human being. And here's one thing. You can't hide Christ. If he's in you, he's going to come out. Let me use an example. When I was playing football, I wore 32 waist. It'd have to be 42 now. Why? Something is coming out of me. And it's not muscles. Why? Because I couldn't wear those pants anymore. What? I've gotten bigger. Let me say this. When Christ comes in you, you will not be able to fit sin. And sin won't fit in you. Why? Because Christ's going to come out of you. He's going to come out. Why? Because Christ will manifest himself. Matter of fact, Paul said like this, for me to live is Christ. The Christian life becomes, for to me to live is Christ. Why? Because you've died. And nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. And so Christ becomes your life in all human circumstances. That's what the Christian is. Christ becomes your very life. You began to trust not your ability to please God, but Christ's ability in you to please God. You trust in Christ, not only to save you, but also to make you what you should be to the glory of God. Every day of your life, I'm trusting Christ. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Christ becomes your life. Jesus said it like this, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. People are seeking abundant life in many things. The Christian don't seek abundant life. The Christian receive abundant life. Why? Because Christ gives life and he gives it more abundantly. It's a glorious thing to be a Christian. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, what's the other thing about this Christian life? Paul says, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. You get the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. He said in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ? Christ's mind was, I always do those things that please the Father. The mind of Christ. Your mind will change. You want to know what the Bible says, and you want to do what the Bible says. The mind now is, I want to learn the Word of God, and I want to live by what the Word of God says. You have a new mind. Your mind is not controlled by the lies of the world. Your mind is controlled by a living God and a book that show you how to live according to God. It's a new mind, a submissive mind, a mind that wants to submit to the Word of God, a mind that wants to obey the Word of God, a mind that is being renewed by the Word of God, a mind that is changed by truth. Why? Because Jesus Christ has not only become the way, but he's become the truth. You're not a person who's seeking truth. You're a person who come to know truth. Truth is a person, Jesus Christ himself. So you're not trying to learn the truth. You have come to know who is truth. and you live by truth. And so, therefore, the Bible said you trust in the Lord with all your heart. You lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he directs your path. The Christian has a new mind, the mind of Christ. A Christ's mind was, I always do those things that please the Father. Let me ask you this. Is it a desire in your heart to do what God's word says? If you had that, if you have that desire, it didn't come from you. God gave it to you. If you don't have that desire, you need to get it from God because you can't work it up. A desire to obey God, a desire to obey his word does not come from human flesh. It's a work of God. God gives you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. God gives you hunger and thirst for righteousness. The third thing, not only with the mind of Christ, but the passion of Christ. The passion of Christ. You have the Christ passion. What was Christ's passion? Christ's passion was to please his Father. If I can use this this truth, the Lord Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's a holy place here. But I'm going to share this in Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus have a cup, this cup of sin. He's getting ready to drink the cup of sin, and he says, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. What was his passion? His passion was not to drink the cup, but his passion was, I want to do what the Father's will is. His passion was to please the Father in a place where humanly he did not want to participate from a human standpoint, but the divine standpoint, I want to do what my Father called me to do. Let me say this. The Christian in the difficult circumstance would choose God's will over their will. You'll say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Let me say this, young men and women, to follow Christ is not to get your will to be done. To follow Christ is to choose Christ's will over your will all the time. You'll have a choice. Will you do what the word of God say, or will I do what my friends say? I've had a friend who became a Christian, and he was drinking and doing other things and was a preacher of a church. And I was having a Bible study with him, and I was taught him on Nicodemus, and he came to know Christ. Well, he went back and began to continue to be at that church, and they'd give him opportunity to teach the Bible, and he would start teaching what the word said. And the people said, we don't like what you say anymore. See, he wasn't saying nice things. He began to say what the word said. And he quit drinking. He quit doing those things away from the church that religious people do away from the church, and they're not Christian. He quit doing that. And they didn't want him in there. What had happened to him? He had come to realize that it's not religion, it's a relationship. And a relationship that now desires to do what the Bible says. It doesn't talk about what the Bible says. It lives to do what the Bible says. He had been born again. And now he wanted to obey the word of God. And the pressure was he going to compromise and hang out with this religious group? Or was he going to accept the rejection of the religious group because now he's identified with Christ? Not religion, but Christ. He was not now a Baptist. He was a Christian who happened to be a Baptist. He was a Christian. He wasn't a part of a religion. He had a relationship now. He belonged to Christ. And his desire is to obey Christ. What a wonderful thing can happen even to a person who's in religion. A preacher, this guy was. But he wasn't born again. Why? Because he didn't have a hunger and thirst for Christ. He had a desire to be religious and to be moral when it was convenient. But when God changes you, you're not looking for convenience. You're looking for commitment of a heart to glorify God. There's a commitment in your heart. Now notice, God is not concerned about your performance. Men look at the outward appearance. God's concerned about your heart. Don't hear me say that the Christian life is a person performing a certain way. God is not looking at your performance. God's looking at your heart. Men look at the outward appearance. God sees your heart. But when your heart is right, your performance will come up to it. When I played with the Falcons, I didn't catch every pass. Now, when you look at football follies, don't laugh at me. I dropped some passes. But I still got a check. On Monday, they still gave me my check. Frown at me, but I still wanted my check. My point is, God is not looking at your performance. He's looking at your heart. And your heart desire is, I want to do what Jesus says. And you don't do it, you may not do it perfectly, but there's a passion in your heart that you're not going to be pleased when you don't do it perfectly. I was never satisfied when I dropped the pass. I didn't come back to the huddle and say, hey guys, I dropped it. I'll get it next time. They would have kicked me out of the huddle. So the Christian is never satisfied when they disobey God. There's no satisfaction in that. Matter of fact, you're grieved. You grieve when you see that you've done something that grieved God and you've disobeyed God. There's a grief in your heart and you confess it. You call it by its name. You confess your sin and he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. But you never, a Christian is never satisfied with sin. Never satisfied with compromising. Never satisfied with pleasing the crowd over Christ. Never. The Christian is always seeking to please the Lord. You're not trying to please Christ to be accepted by Christ. You please Christ because you know you're already accepted. When I caught passes for the Falcons, I didn't catch a pass to become a player. I caught a pass because I was a player. I didn't catch the pass to become a Falcon. I was a Falcon. So a Christian is a person who's not obeying to become a Christian. They obey because they are Christians. There's a hunger and thirst to do what the Word of God says. Why? Because God is in them. Christ in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so there's a passion of Christ in you. A passion of Christ. And then Paul says, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Well, there's a new power. There's a new power. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians, a couple of books forward, in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says this. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And so the power to live the Christian life is Christ's life. Paul says, I can do all things, why? Through Christ who strengthened me. So the power to live the Christian life is Christ himself. So it's not you and I trying to live the Christian life. It's you and I depending upon the Holy Spirit to live out his life through us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so Christ, Paul says, I can do all things. Christ becomes our life in all human circumstance. Christ becomes our mind in human relationship. Christ becomes our passion in our daily pursuit. And Christ becomes your power to do that which pleases God at all time. The only power you have to live the Christian life is Christ. Christianity is a person. Jesus Christ himself. Christianity is not a performance, it's a person. And a person that performs in and through us. Christianity is not some religious idea. Christianity is a relationship with a real Savior who gives you real joy, real peace, real life, real purpose. The Christian life is a glorious life. Christ's life. And so Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. There's nothing that God's going to ask you to do that he won't enable you to do it. Whatever the scripture says that you must be, God will give you the power to do what he says. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's by faith. The Christian is a person who've come to trust their life to Christ. Paul would say it like this, I'm not my own anymore, I've been bought with a price. A Christian is a person who belongs to Jesus Christ, been redeemed by blood, And let me say this, and get a hold of this one very clear. You are not trying to get the victory. You already have the victory if you're a Christian. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John. 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. We saw yesterday that all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You and I are not trying to get the victory who are Christian. We already have the victory. Our victory is in Christ. This is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith in the faithfulness of our Savior. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So in the world, it doesn't matter what you have to deal with. Christ is sufficient. You have the life of Christ in you, the mind of Christ to teach you by the Holy Spirit, the passion of Christ that he put in you, and the power of Christ to live his life out through you. The Christian has all that they need to live the Christian life. Christ in you is the hope of glory. What a glorious thing. See, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Some of your friends, you that are Christian, your friends can say, oh, you can't do this because you're a Christian. Yes, you can. When I was... Some years ago when I was younger, living in certain places, I used to drink. And when I became a Christian, I quit drinking. And the guy said, oh, you can't drink anymore. Yeah, I can drink. I got the same mouth, same throat. Why don't you drink? Don't have a desire to. Why? It's not that I couldn't drink. I didn't want to drink. Why? I was able to say no. Why? Because it didn't satisfy and it wasn't going to glorify Christ. Oh, I'm getting drunk for Jesus. Doesn't work. I'm an alcoholic Christian. No. Not so. What's my point is, it's not that a Christian can't do what the lost people do. It's just that the Christian doesn't desire to do that. Because if they eat or drink, they do it all for the glory of God. You see, you're not in bondage. You're free. Jesus Christ set the captive free. So I'm not in bondage. Everybody said, well, grace, I can do what I want with grace. Yes, grace doesn't give you a license. Grace gives you love and liberty. Why? Because you're liberated from sin, and now you love to obey your Savior. My wife, when she married me, she could go home and stay with her mom and dad. I said, no, honey. Last night with mom and dad was the night before we got married. You live with me. She didn't want to go home. Don't y'all think she did? No, she didn't want to go. She was happy to be with me and my children. But my point was, you don't want to go back out in the world once you come from the world. You don't want to live like others live. Why? You've been set free. You're not in bondage to peer pressure. You're not in bondage to what the world thinks. You live free before God, and now the Son sets you free, and you can make choices. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean you live a perfect life. But that means you have a perfect passion for the one who is the life that's perfect. And so the Christian, every day of their life, they seek, they hunger and thirst to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. The Christian life is Christ's life in you. Well, how do you get that life? The Bible says you have to receive him. To as many as receive Jesus as the sin bearer. To many as receive Jesus as the substitute. To as many as receive Jesus as the sacrifice. To as many as receive Jesus as the Savior. To them he give the power to become children of God. It's a gift that must be received. But in order to receive it, you have to renounce self. You have to say to God, Lord Jesus, not my will anymore, but your will be done. I will to be yours. And to as many as willing to trust their life to him, to make the Lord their shepherd, he'll lead them in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. What a glorious thing to be a Christian. It's not bondage, it's freedom. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Young people, the glorious thing about the Christian life is Christ is our life. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. The power to live the Christian life is Christ himself. It's not a legal life. It's a life of love. It's not a life that gives you a license. It's a life that allows you to live in love. It's not a life that brings you into bondage. It's a life that have you to experience true freedom. That the person that God created you to be, your own personality is set free. You don't have to be someone else. You can be the personality that God made you and live in such a way that it pleased the God who made you. Because God comes inside of you by his Spirit and he allows Christ to magnify himself through you. And so you're not trying to be like your neighbor. You're just trying to be the person that God created you to be. And the gift that God gave you, you use them for his glory. You sing for his glory. Whatever gift God have given you, whatever you do it all for his glory. Why? Because you're a creature created by God, redeemed by Christ, and you're a trophy of grace. If you were to go to the Falcons stadium now in our place, you'll see a lot of trophies where there were championship games won by the Falcons throughout the years in that trophy case. And on that trophy case, on those trophies, you'll see 1967 when the Falcons won this. And you'll just see various things written on those trophies telling you what happened and how these trophies was won. The Christian is a trophy of grace. And God put you in the showcase of various places. And your testimony tells how God won you over. God's grace is engraved in your life. How he won you over and changed you. And you become a trophy that he put on display at your school, in your community, in your church. You become a trophy of his gate, of his grace in a world that need to see God in a man, in a woman, in a boy, in a girl. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Young saints, Christianity is Jesus Christ. What a privilege to be a Christian. Not striving to become one, but resting in the fact that the one who can make you all that God wants you to be is in you. If he's not in you this morning, I would say to you, come to him. How do I come, Wallace? Come just as you are. But when you come, you don't come to give orders. You come now to take orders. Lord Jesus, not my will anymore, but your will be done in my life. That's the only way you can come to him. And when you come that way, he'll never leave you or forsake you. But you have to come on his terms. All of you for all of him. Amazing grace. And he will receive you just as you are. But he'll change you for all that he wants you to be. The Christian life is Christ himself. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we give thanks this morning for this glorious Savior. Thank you for these young men and women bowed in your presence. For those that are yours, I pray that you continue to strengthen them that they might stand perfect in all the will of God. For the ones who are in the valley of decision, I pray you give them grace to see Christ as he is and grace to receive him for who he is, Lord, Savior, and life. Thank you for our time together this morning in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.